You're listening to AW360, a podcast from Advertising Week. Recorded in studio and live at Advertising Week's global events, AW360 features thought leadership conversations with the best and the brightest in the advertising, marketing, and technologies industries each and every week. If you enjoy AW360, we'd appreciate it if you took the time to subscribe on your podcast platform of choice and maybe even leave a positive review. Thanks for listening. Catherine and Ariel, thanks so much for taking the time to be on the AW360 podcast today. I'm pleased to have you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for having us.
So you are a Senior Marketing Manager and Associate Director of Events Marketing at Cint, respectively. What is Cint and what do you do there?
So Cint is a global leader in research technology. We have a massive network of over 300 million respondents in 130 countries who take surveys and help business leaders make data-driven strategic decisions. Cint also has expertise in campaign measurement that helps media planners and other advertisers optimize media performance for impactful and targeted advertising campaigns. I am a senior marketing manager at Cint, where I lead customer marketing. So I have worked across other functions, including advertising, public relations, and content marketing at Cint. And prior to Cint, I was at an independent creative agency.
Excellent. And Ariel?
Yeah. So I joined Cint at the beginning of the year to lead our events marketing and community engagement strategy. So that means I spend a lot of my time figuring out how we can take our brand, take the conversations that we are having with our industry, research that we're doing that we think would be relevant to the industry, such as what we'll be talking about today, and really bringing it face-to-face in front of people to interact with it, for them to interact with one another, and to create experiences that they'll bring home and will remember and help improve their day-to-day lives and their what their teams are doing. So that spans across the market research and insight space, as well as the media measurement and advertising space, which is why we love going to all the Advertising Week events.
What a great segue. Thank you. So at Advertising Week New York, Catherine, you were on a panel called AI in the Workplace. Are Americans Falling Behind? And just to preface this, because I want to know if Americans are falling behind, but you wouldn't think so based on the sheer number of people at Advertising Week New York who could not stop talking about AI. So what did you find?
So we surveyed 1,000 workers in the US, the UK, and Australia with full-time or part-time jobs and asked them questions about their usage and perceptions of AI. And we found that about a third of US workers have used AI to complete work tasks. And in the UK and Australia, that number was closer to half. What's interesting is that US workers are just as familiar with AI tools and just as excited about the idea of using them at work. But when it comes to actually using AI, the number of Americans doing so is lower. The data suggests that fewer Americans are interested in actually learning more about AI and specifically implementing it to enhance efficiency and productivity. But one huge caveat is that of the Americans who are using AI, they're using it more frequently. So we found that a much higher percentage of Americans who are using AI are using it daily or weekly than their British or Australian counterparts. So essentially, there's a wider gap in the US between those who are using AI frequently and those who do not use it at all.
Wow, that's not at all what I would have guessed. So that's pretty fascinating. Now, is there a reason that you found as to why that might be? Because that's, I don't know, it kind of, again, and I really only have the sort of attention metric that AI is getting to go by. But if fewer people are using it more often, what is that related to that you found?
I think something, Richard, that is interesting is we did cut the data by industry. And one of the industries that is definitely talking about AI more, both in terms of excitement about it and fear about what it means for their jobs, is the advertising and marketing space, which is obviously why we were talking about it at Advertising Week, probably why it was taking such a large share of the conversation at Advertising Week, and why it has potentially been the number one topic of this podcast, because it's something that this industry is particularly invested in. So that is something that could be a reason for why the findings that we found don't necessarily relate to what you're experiencing, or honestly, even what I'm experiencing, because I'm also in these conversations. I was at another event last week that wasn't advertising week, more in the market research space. And same thing. I mean, it was 3.5 days of content. And I would say 80% of those conversations were about AI and how to implement it in the workforce and how people are already using it in their day-to-day lives. So I think it really does come down to what bubble you're in is going to skew what you think people are doing. And that's one of the reasons that running this study was so interesting. Something else that actually went against what my hypothesis was going to be was we didn't run all these studies at the exact same time. We ran them in relation to the Advertising Week events that were happening. So we did the UK first when Advertising Week Europe was happening in May, then Australia in August when it was Advertising Week APAC, and then most recently in September for Advertising Week New York, we did the US. So I actually thought that we would end up seeing a skew of data that more people were going to be using AI in the US because AI had been around for longer, that more companies would have policy about AI because more people were using it and it had been around for longer, et cetera. So it was really fascinating that actually, aside from these usage numbers, we didn't see a whole... We just didn't see that at all. It didn't seem like, you know, 6 more months had passed and therefore more people were using it. It sort of felt like people were early adopters. Companies came up with early policies or they didn't at all.
Interesting. And in those you surveyed, you know, speaking purely of AI policies, how many companies have an AI policy right now that you know of? I mean, just a rough percentage.
I think it was 19% of American companies have an AI policy.
And is that different in UK or Australia? Do they have more or fewer?
So I believe that British organizations were much more likely to have an AI policy.
And then further breaking down the data, you know, I'm really curious about how this kind of plays out globally, really, but for the most part in the US, just in terms of different demographics. So is it more young people using it versus, you know, older generations? And is there sort of a difference in usage across different job levels?
Yeah. So we definitely found that Gen Zs and millennials across all the countries were more likely to be using AI, especially compared with baby boomers. The stronger distinction, though, was between managers and non-managers. So managers are much more likely to be using AI than people who don't have any direct reports. But they're also much more likely to be concerned about AI's impact on the organization and on their position. In fact, managers are more likely to be concerned that AI will replace their job and damage their future career prospects. So that was something that I thought was really interesting.
Oh yeah, that's super interesting because the very demographic that's looking for AI not to take its place is the one using it.
One of the stats that was really interesting to me going off of that is that 65% of managers think more people at their companies should be using AI. And so again, it's like they're the ones using it the most. They're the ones that are most afraid of it replacing their jobs, but also clearly in using it, they are seeing some of the benefits of it and thinking that other people should use it. That said, they also think that their companies should have AI policies in place for people to be using AI, I think, in, you know, a responsible manner. And we saw kind of across the board that I think it's the 75% of people surveyed were excited about AI. And 75% of people surveyed were also scared about the rise of AI. So we actually are seeing this sort of, it goes hand in hand that the more someone's using it, the more someone knows about it, the more they think it has a place and it's exciting and are looking at the future of it, but also that they're scared of some of the negative repercussions that it might bring with it, whether that's job loss or loss of proprietary information, surveillance of AI tools, et cetera. So it's kind of like, the more you know, you're opening up this sort of Pandora's box.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's actually dive into the sort of fear side of this. So you said 75% of respondents feared AI.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty big number to me. You know, just in talking to people over the past many months this year, it feels like it's been a concern, yes, but not 75% a concern. That seems really high to me and is just very surprising. Is there a breakdown demographically of who is most afraid of it? I mean, is that purely an American thing, or is that kind of well represented around the globe?
Yeah, so levels of concern over AI were very similar across the three countries. But where we do see differences is in that people who are more familiar with AI and have used it are actually more likely to be concerned about AI. And so we saw, as Ariel said, that about 75% of the population is concerned about AI. Those concerns are based on fears that AI will cause a loss of creativity, loss of judgment, and also that AI tools might be subject to surveillance. Also, since this is relevant for this audience, we found that about 2/3 of respondents were concerned about the use of AI in advertising. And those concerns were driven by very similar fears about loss of creativity, loss of judgment, and loss of social interaction.
Looking ahead, I mean, which, you know, I understand is difficult to do, but you kind of see a pattern develop over the course of a year, just in a sort of a reverse way than I would have guessed. But nonetheless, there it is. The part about the AI policies, mm-hmm. you know, is that something that you think we're going to see become rectified? I mean, how much of a concern is it? I mean, if I was an employee of one of these companies, it would be of great concern to me. But, you know, I'm just kind of curious, you know, did you get any indication of how important that was to people?
Yeah, we did. So 55% of employees in the U.S. think their companies should have an AI policy in place. So obviously, that's a big disparity from that only 19% of companies do. This has been a big topic of conversation that I've been seeing floating around both in the advertising conference space and very much in the market research conference space, because currently how OpenAI works is anything that you put into it, it takes, and then it becomes part of its platform, right? And it owns that information essentially. So that's creating a really big concern with the, you know, sharing of proprietary information. And I think there's just so many unknowns of what that could end up snowballing into and where AI is going. So it seems as though putting a policy in place is probably going to be that next step, because we've all been hearing so much conversation about AI. I think there was a quote at Advertising Week that I really loved, and it was from one of the sessions that I sat in that wasn't ours. It was that it's not about AI replacing marketers. It's that marketers who understand how to use AI are going to replace marketers who don't know how to use AI. And that seems to be a pretty common thread that I've been hearing. So if the future is that we all figure out how to use AI as part of our jobs to help us, to be a time saver, you know, to help with content generation and brainstorming, those are some of the things that people were excited about with it. Companies are essentially going to need to catch up and put policies in place. And something that I have been seeing certain companies doing, I know that Coca-Cola is one of these examples, is actually working to create their own integrated generative AI platforms so that all of that information that gets put in doesn't go out into the general AI universe and can't be used by other companies. But there's not that many companies out there that have gotten ahead of the punch like that.
So it almost becomes kind of like Coke GPT at that point.
Yeah, exactly. I think they have a punchy name for it, but I can't remember what it is right now.
Well, anything's better than Coke GPT. This is all very fascinating stuff. Catherine and Ariel, I appreciate you taking the time to be on today. This is definitely the most enlightening conversation I've had to come from Advertising Week so far. I really love having these numbers in front of me to kind of, you know, better tell the story of this, you know, great mythical thing that was thrust upon us, you know, not even a year ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just kind of seeing how people really feel about it, I think is incredibly important. Where can people find out more about you and Cint?
Cint.com. And we will have a blog post up there shortly, which will be actually diving more into these stats and into more of what we learned from the research as well.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate you both taking the time to be on the show today.
Thank you so much, Richard.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to AW360. For more podcasts like this one, be sure to check out Advertising Week's ever-growing roster of podcasts for the advertising, marketing, and technology industries, including our flagship podcast, Great Minds. You can find those at www.advertisingweek.com/podcasts.